Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012, and we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
I always believe in prayer. I believe in prayer when I go to church, back home, and if a Buddhist monk is wishing me well, I'm going to take whatever good vibes he can give me.
We have a president and a political party dedicated to the proposition that an entire class of human beings can be set aside to be killed. That is no light matter.
Most other people call it contemporary worship. It's not contemporary. It's 200 years old. It's called revivalism.
He says to them, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and I will show you what God's payment is. I will be the payment that you cannot be.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Now, more than often, more than not, I would say, the church's calendar is populated by the poor and the unsung. What am I saying? The people that the church often remembers are not the rich and famous. But sometimes, and today is one of those sometimes, the person on the calendar is at least at the beginning rich and famous. Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, she's remembered as a 13th century princess and a philanthropist. And Larry Rast is going to join us to talk about Elizabeth on this 19th of November. It's Monday afternoon. That's when the church remembers her, and that's when we remember her as well. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Rast, George Conger will join us from Get Religion. We'll talk about the New York Times and its cover of adultery, and it's also its coverage of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, and then a story from Spain about same-sex marriage as well. Then we'll round off this second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon with a sermon review, a sermon preached for the very end of the church year by Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at Issues ETC. Dr. Larry Rast is a regular guest. He's president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
Not too far from here, there's a hospital called St. Elizabeth's, and I know a lot of hospitals are named St. Elizabeth. Is this the same Elizabeth that we're remembering today?
There's a pretty good chance of that. In fact, many of the St. Elizabeth's hospitals that are around, at least the ones I'm familiar with here in the United States, are named after Elizabeth of Hungary, or as others would call her, Elizabeth of Thuringia.
Who is this woman, and why do we name things after her?
Interesting person, about whom I knew very little until, I think it was 2007, went with a group of people to the Wartburg outside of Eisenach in Thuringia in Germany, and anticipated spending most of our time at the Wartburg Castle looking at Luther relics and places where he sat and hearing the story about Junker Jorg and the translation of the New Testament into German. And instead, it was a celebration that particular year of Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth, and her work as you said, as a philanthropist, and particularly the efforts that she was involved in helping the poor and the sick in central Germany in the years of the first part of the 1200s when she lived. Fascinating person who had been, the date of her birth is 1207, and at the age of four, she was basically had her marriage arranged to a German prince, even though she was from Hungary. And the whole idea of the arrangement, of course, was to solidify political alliances at that point in time between Thuringia and Hungary. And as a young, very young one, girl still, then, of course, was sent up to Germany, grew up in the context of the family in which she would later be formally brought into by virtue of marriage, and at the age of 14 then was formally speaking married to Prince Ludwig, and enjoyed marriage with him. Apparently all the reports of their marriage were that it was for the time particularly a very strong one, but found herself widowed at a very young age, 20 or 21. And from that point forward, even though she had three children by that point in time, she also committed herself to the care of the sick and the poor, and as such became already during her life thought of as a saintly woman, and then after her death was actually canonized and moved into the ranks of Roman Catholic saints.
So this is a good example of someone who, well, both in a historical sense, is part of this long influence of Christianity, as Dr. Alvin Schmidt would call it, where would we have something like hospitals were it not for this kind of philanthropy or this kind of thinking on the part of individual Christians who had the means, but also a person who was willing to part with what was rightfully hers by marriage, considerable wealth for mm-hmm. for the sake of the poor. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, she it's in the tradition in the 13th century of an increasingly complex society, the growth time in terms of the population in Germany, and as a result, not surprisingly, that brought some social problems along with it. One of which was poverty, and along with poverty, typically you get sickness as well. What distinguished her in many ways was the point you just made there, that she was willing to use not only her influence as a royal, but also her affluence, and to dedicate significant sums of money for the sake of those who just didn't have the ability to care for themselves, didn't have the resources to provide for themselves. And this is, in many ways, is a unique thing because as these institutions are developing in the latter part of the Middle Ages, later on Luther will pick up on this theme and really say that a person like Elizabeth, well, not her specifically, but people like Elizabeth who took advantage of the opportunities that they had, really were carrying out their vocation in a unique way for the sake of others. In other words, being a saint in the best sense of the word, not in the sense of one who intercedes on behalf of another person for their spiritual welfare specifically, but rather one who uses the gifts God has provided them in behalf of their neighbor who is in need. And in that respect, acts as Christ to that person, a little Christ, as Luther often put it.
I think that people who work for the church, so to speak, might have a unique perspective on this. I mean, both you and I survive on the kindness of strangers, on essentially patronage. Everybody who is employed in full-time church work essentially does. Talk about how, although the church includes all sorts of people, there is a long tradition of this kind of patronage of people with means who support the ongoing work of the church, be it in acts of mercy, social welfare, or in the direct preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's we see it obviously in the scriptures themselves, and it's very clear with a person like St. Paul, for example, who at certain points says, well, you know, I've learned to be content with much and with little, but he also is very explicit about saying the worker is worthy of his wages. Where do those come from? They come from people who have the means to support the work of the gospel, and that is the case throughout the history of Christianity. One of the interesting things about Christianity is that it has hasn't insisted that people of means give up all of their means. Sure, there are instances where Jesus challenges, for example, the rich young man who's convinced of his own worthiness, where Jesus says, well, let's see how far you're actually willing to go. Give up everything and follow me, and then we'll talk. And the man, of course, fails that challenge. But in other cases where we see very clearly that, Jesus recognizing the poor you will always have with you, and who will take care of these folks other than the people who do have the means to help. And so throughout church history, that'll be a theme that we see constantly replayed, where where the goods of the church will be distributed on behalf of folks who have less. And, of course, here you probably can guess that one of my heroes in this respect is my namesake, St. Lawrence himself, who was martyred as he refused to give up the treasures of the church, which were being cultivated for the sake of those who were in need. And when challenged by the Roman secular authorities, he said to give over the treasures of the church. He pointed to the poor and said, "These are the treasures of the church," and as a result, paid with his life. But there are other instances we could multiply very, very easily where people moved by the gospel, give of themselves in significant, remarkable ways for the sake of others, both in terms of acts of mercy, acts of charity, and service on behalf of the neighbor in a myriad of ways.
So finally then, Larry, with about a minute, why should the church continue to set aside a day to remember even the more obscure, although in her time not obscure, even someone like St. Elizabeth?
I think the Lutheran confessions speak very well and clearly to us on this point, that the remembering the manner in which God has worked through people in remarkable ways, holding that example before us, and in some ways challenging us, or at least reminding ourselves of how those people have worked with the gifts God has given them, then gives us an example, a very powerful example, for how we ourselves can serve using the various and sundry gifts that God has given to us, whether that be by means of the financial resources we have or whatever other gifts we have that God has blessed us with.
Dr. Larry Rast is president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, Todd, thanks. Appreciate it very much. God bless.
When we come back, George Conger is going to join us from GetReligion.org. We're going to talk about two recent New York Times stories, one on adultery, the other on gays in Pakistan. And as time permits, we'll also talk with him about media coverage of same-sex marriage in Spain. Stay tuned. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Confession of Peter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the Curmudgeon. And we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.